Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody, and happy summer as it essentially is upon us. Now, maybe you consider that moment when the boss says, we're done for the day, go home, which obviously varies for people. But today's the day. In many ways, we think of the summer beginning. Jody, two-part question. One, your favorite summer ever. And question two, is it a factual truth you pretty much have to be single to have your favorite summer ever?
Ooh, that's a I don't like the way you asked the second half of that question.
That is a loaded question.
Absolutely, right. Isn't it true? Myself in the foot here.
Right. It's like I was just talking last segment. The moral of last segment was, you guys didn't go to Fairfield University. You missed out. The moral of this segment is, I mean, doesn't everyone have their best summer when you're single? Eh, come on.
My best summer on Fish Tour. How about that?
Yeah. And by the way, for the record, everybody already knows. How long you been married?
How long have I been married?
He's
zero.
He's not married.
Then that's why you can ask that question the way you asked that question. I'll pass on answering it. Thank you very much.
I hope Amy's listening. Okay.
Well,
He's still single.
Doesn't change the answer to the question.
Right, different kind single. Of single. I mean, I'm not. I don't consider myself single. Yeah. I mean, I'm not married.
Yeah.
I guess in the technical sense, when you check that box.
Yeah.
What do you do that box for? Is that like when you do the census or something?
Yeah, among other things. Sure.
So your options are single, married, or divorced, right? Or widowed, maybe.
I don't know.
I think they're your four. I don't know. Who the hell? All right, drop of the week. But I'll say this. I certainly don't consider myself single. I mean, you know. All right, to the phones we go. Drop of the week coming up shortly. By the way, as Devin said in the update, we are going to re-air the Kelce interview. Guys, if you missed it, I really thought something. I mean, we covered a ton of ground with him obviously in the room, you know, riding shotgun with Jeffrey Lurie as those guys made their plea to the NFL, and what went on in that meeting and his reaction to it. You'll hear it all coming up at 9:30. Really good stuff. All right, to the phones. Mike in West Philadelphia. Mike, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Man, Mike, what a voice, man. Deeper than deep.
Well, that's because you had me waiting for like 2.5 hours. You know what I mean? I fell asleep. You know what I mean? I'll tell you something, Joe. See, you're so against Jalen Hurts that you mad that they didn't ban the tush push.
Not true.
Mike, hold on, Mike, real quick.
You don't think I'm genuinely excited for the Eagles that the tush push remains? Have you not listened the last 2 days?
Because you was pompous about it. You was all, they want to ban it. It's a bobo play. It's the same as a regular quarterback sneak, except that they push it. They reinvented something.
That's a big difference.
You're mad because it makes Jalen Hurts look good.
I'm not mad. When I advocated against it, I advocated against it because I
you're
do think
mad.
It's a bobo.
You're a hater. You're talking about bobo play. Come on. We're talking about a quarterback sneak. Don't nobody know when they're doing it. Come on. Everybody
they don't.
Know when they're doing the
Mike,
quarterback.
Richie was dead wrong about that times that Tom Brady ran 3rd-and-1 quarterback sneak or 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak, there were plenty of times he handed it off or passed it, especially on 3rd-and-1.
Sure. I mean,
I think it was really ignorant of John to act like it's so obvious when a quarterback does a regular QB sneak on 3rd-and-1. Absolutely not.
No.
And here's the deal. Maybe there's a nanosecond before the ball snapped where you see the quarterback in a certain crouch position. But what's very different about this one, there's 15 seconds where you have on this now tush push type where there's two guys lined up directly behind the quarterback for 15 seconds. There's no doubt what's likely coming.
Right. So just stop it. I mean,
I see it to you, Mike. I won't.
No, I'm talking
Mike
about.
Wentz.
He's talking about the defense.
I'm talking about the other team. The defense.
I don't think that's the issue. The issue is for them to do it. The biggest issue is going to be if other offenses can do it.
Because
they're not going to stop the Eagles.
They tried it, but they failed in a championship game. And then they're going to be the ones that are complaining. Come on. Yeah. And I do have a character.
Please tell me. Who do you got? Let's get you these Phillies tickets.
The mayor.
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Do the Right Thing. The mayor.
Ooh,
do the
right thing. That's great. I didn't think about Do the Right Thing. That's
what
absolutely
a
summer. Maybe the best summer movie. I mean,
it's one of the best ever.
It's one of the best movies ever made, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an outstanding movie. Mike, and some of the Larry Bird scenes with Jody.
I might have gone with a different character. The mayor's great. I might have gone with a different character, but an amazing answer.
What a great. Speaking, because I think that was 90 or 91.
It was 1989. Do the Right Thing is 1989.
So I texted a buddy yesterday. I said, I think in the 80s and 90s, probably close to 200 movies, both decades, better than 20 movies this decade.
I think it might be more than 200.
I mean, think about that.
Well, that's objective.
No, of course it's objective, but the reality is...
You mean subjective.
I'm subjective.
Yeah, it's not objective.
Sorry.
Yes.
But not objective.
Yeah, absolutely not objective, yes.
But the reality is, like, think of it. Like, Do the Right Thing, a lot of people might not consider a top 20 movie from that decade. Maybe it's not. Maybe
oh,
it is.
I think people consider it maybe the best movie of that decade.
No, some do, but if you rank 100 people, many would not have it in
sure.
the 20. Because you could have a million movies.
You and, need to tell me those 100 people's ages, because that'll be a big determining
factor. Well, I guess I'm also talking about those of us that lived through it. I mean, the reality is, guys, take the 90s for a second. Schindler's List, Unforgiven.
Oh, my
Usual
God.
Usual Suspects.
Pulp Fiction, Matrix, Jurassic Park, T2, Shawshank, Goodfellas, Silence of the Lambs,
right.
A Few Good Men. Like, there's a million of them.
Correct. I mean, that's just like 10.
Forrest Gump, Toy Story, 7, yeah. Reservoir Dogs, Good Will Hunting. You can go forever.
Correct. Jeez. That's my point. We don't have that now. All right. What we do have is Drop of the Week. And in this case, Drop of the Week Part 2. We did a little bit earlier. Let's crank up another edition.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski
of the week.
Did it fold?
Now, full disclosure, speaking of movies typically bad, we actually have one that should be really good coming out today. And that is Mission Impossible.
Damn, I'm going on Monday with Emily. I can't wait.
So I am excited for that because that's been a great franchise.
So good.
And the first, because this is part two of this
of
one.
The Dead Reckoning was the first part, and this Final Reckoning or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. This looks like it should be good. All right, Seltzer, Drop of the Week Part 2. What are we looking at?
All right, let's dive in. We had the
So Rhea versus Elliot advanced earlier to the
Without
finals.
A doubt, yes, yeah. A clear advance. And we had the president of the Flyers in, also a former WI employee. Jonesy said a lot, but I thought this was pretty strong, because we've talked a lot about when is the time for this team to start to turn the page. And Jonesy said this.
I think it's important that, you know, not just we understand, but the league and players understand that the Flyers are going to be in play again.
Damn straight, buddy.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
I agree. By the way, let me add Drop of the Week brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. Keep going, James.
Let's go from one former WI employee to another as Joe Wechter. Called in when we had Jonesy on, and Wechter had some jokes talking about you calling Hugh a small G Eagles great. Here's what happened.
Wechter, the Shuler's
the final
going.
Thing
what?
I'd like to tell you, just say Hugh, his name, does have a lower G. So
yes, it does.
That's true, yeah.
But the bigger issue is that the camera has a capital D in it.
Yeah, Wechter came with jokes today. I love it.
Jody,
pretty good joke.
This guy, man. And you know what I came back with. I mean, it's as predictable as can be. Damn right, I got it.
Oh, no, don't. Stop. All right, we're moving on. John Ritchie.
But his line was good.
It was very good. John Ritchie decided to tell us how he talks to his dog.
Oh, Louie, let's go. Let's go have fun.
Just
oh, Louie, let's go. Let's go have fun.
Does he really talk to him that way?
That's incredible.
I know, it was really good. All right, let's keep it rolling. Joe, you came up with a new name for the afternoon show. Taking some shots at our guy Fritz. This is what happened.
And I'm going to be on that show later today, that Spike, Ike, and Boban show.
That show?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'm with those man. Guys you can't today. Say Spike, Ike, and Boban. Oh,
man.
Went for it. Remind me to bring this one back tomorrow. It is a good one.
Oh, Boban. You can't I like say it. That. You
right.
can't do
all
it.
All right, Chuck, I need a quick... Go ahead.
He should want to whip you for calling him Boban. That's a horrible
it's
comparison.
It's bad, man. That is bad.
Not exactly a compliment. I'll agree with that. Hey, look at Jerry, Fritz. That's all I got to say. Look at Fritz. Guy's a freak. He's a walking oaf.
Come on, man.
he He
just kept digging the hole a little bit deeper. Just kept going and going.
It was more so the oaf comment than the Bobong comment.
Jack's
but Devin,
pretty
you
good
told
about
me private. And Devin, you know this to be true. You have told me privately you completely agree with me.
I did not.
You know you did.
I did not.
On both fronts.
Can't do that.
The Bobong thing and the walking oaf. And I appreciate that support privately, Devin.
Okay. Well, that's not
really
true.
Funny. That's really funny. I know Jack's pretty good about turning the other shoulder or brushing it off his shoulder or whatever. I think you got to him with this one, Jack.
Oh, I agree.
I could tell I did. I don't think he likes the oaf Bobong stuff. So
Keep it going. He shouldn't like it. It's not a compliment.
All right. Well, speaking of not liking, Chuck from Inari did not like the question you asked him.
Chuck, final thing. Who's going to win, me versus Elliot? Tush, push, and stay or go? Who's going to win?
I'm going with Elliot. You're an idiot.
Nice. Very nice.
Wow.
Didn't pull any punches there.
That's good. Being thrown around a lot. Yeah.
Idiot is the word of the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we have two more, and then we'll see what's going to square off against Rhea and ESP. Jahad Campbell, we played some of the audio before, but had a really funny line when Richie asked him if he played basketball.
Like those basketball movements on the field, I think that helped me tremendously a lot in my career. And
you played basketball also?
Yeah, I played basketball when I was younger. So, I mean, you know.
You good?
Now, then moving to defense. Yeah, of course.
Exactly right.
That's awesome. That was great. I love the comments. Like,
when you guys are pro athlete as an edge rusher in football, you think he wasn't a good basketball player?
He's like offended
by the
question.
I mean, he might not be a good golfer, but I mean, of course he's going to be a great basketball player.
I've actually been in his high school gym.
Yep.
Because my daughter used to play Timber Creek, his high school. So I've been in that gym many a time.
Nice.
She was a little ahead of him, so don't know if they put up any accolades for what he accomplished when he was a basketball player. But that's a pretty good basketball school, Timber Creek.
Good.
Love it. All right, one more. Our guy OG Wade gets asked about a plot twist. Our side topic yesterday had a good answer.
Give me a plot twist.
The plot twist is for y'all to stop babying Spike Eskin and kick his ass like I do.
Baby him.
There's a lot of good ones in here.
I think it's the walking off Bobong versus Rhea and ESP
person.
Yeah, I think that's a clear one too.
All right, so play the Rhea and Elliot thing earlier, and then we'll see which one we want to vote for.
Team wins.
Again,
the Devils win.
Again,
the Sixers
you
win.
Think bringing
so
up Washington is a positive.
It is a
makes
positive.
Makes him a good
it's
Sixers
because
owner.
Because it shows
we're talking
it, no.
about as a Sixers
yes.
owner.
And as a Sixers
oh,
owner, you're ignoring
oh my
the
God.
On the,
so because Washington is good, it makes him a better owner? You're an idiot.
No, if you,
you
want to ignore
a flat
if,
out
if
moron,
you want to ignore
if you
the
think
on the
a single
product,
Sixers fan is going, gosh, Washington's good.
You know, you're normally supposed to not like talk at the same time as other people in radio. That totally works for some reason. I don't know why, but it totally works.
All right, Jody, which would you vote for? The Bobong oaf thing or Rhea versus Elliot?
Rhea's use of the word idiot.
Oh, with the venom, right?
The venom. That's a good word, James. Yes, far outweighs Mr. DeCamera. So I'm voting for Rhea and ESP.
Devin, what do you think?
Well, you know, they say normally if you have to sling a insulting word in a debate, it means you're losing. But in this case, I don't think that applies. Rhea with the idiot and then followed up quickly by a moron is gold. So
James, you agree?
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
much conviction there.
Joe, you were great.
It.
I can hear the disappointment in your voice, Joe. Trust me.
Well,
like, in a lot of weeks, you win.
Yeah.
But that you know, sometimes you run up against a buzzsaw, you know?
I was mesmerized. I mean, I just sat there and watched it. And I was like, you know what? I'll take the next 10 minutes off. You guys have at it. That was something. All right, excellent. So, Rhea, and look, that'll probably be in Drop of the Year, I would imagine, later this year. By the way, speaking of Drop of the Year, we do have to honor the Mac, man. I mean, when he's here, it is. Jody won Drop of the Year in 2023.
Going away.
This was like, I was going to say Corey Clement, but that's not the right analogy because Corey Clement played the whole season for the Eagles but then started in the Super Bowl. I don't know what the right analogy is. I mean, Jody came in out of the bullpen.
It's like if Danelle Ellerbe had a great Super Bowl.
Correct.
You
it's kind of like Marty Bystrom in 1980 for the Phillies. It wasn't in the World Series, but like he went 5-0 down the stretch. Let's put it this way. Jody delivered 2 years ago on one of the days he was in for John and won Drop of the Year. Let's listen to what happened a couple years back. Richard, let me ask you a question because I've long wondered this. I mean, I get like Bill and William.
Oh, we're not going there.
How does Richard become Dick? Like, the caterpillar and the butterfly still confuse me, but how does Richard become Dick?
I have no idea. I think people just
like to pick on people named Richard.
I mean, you got Richard Nixon and he's Dick Nixon. Like, I don't understand. Like, how Jody, Devin, Rhea, who knows the answer?
I have a brother, Richard, but he never went by, you know.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, no, James, Richard and Dick, Rick, near each other. And then they took another step, but I have no idea how that
Bill
step
and
was
Billy.
Taken.
You know, Bill and Billy. Richard and Dick? Anyway.
See, here's where I would take it. At some point, you have a choice, right?
Yes.
Your name is Richard, and someone decides to call you Dick.
I don't think anybody...
I put up my hand and go, no.
Right, I can't.
No.
It's not like a baby's
Rich,
born, and you're
Richie,
like, this is baby.
Richard,
well,
Rick,
I can't imagine
Ricky,
anybody's
there's
under
like
the
92
age of 50.
Well, choices. Why would you accept Dick?
whenever I'm called...
Cut that audio!
by the way, John has a theory that after Richard Nixon, people stopped referring to themselves as Dick.
Probably.
And so to your point, Rhea, it is probably like 50 and younger.
Never go by.
Probably
it.
No dicks.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is happening right now, guys? Can we rein this conversation in?
Somehow we got on Dick removal conversation. I don't think we need to continue this.
Dick Vermeil and Dick Vitale are both in their 80s. Anyway, Richard, go ahead, pal.
I might have to turn all your mics off at this point. Oh, it's so good.
It's an all-timer.
Jody just goes off. Phenomenal, Jody.
Jody, you knew
really,
you
yeah, that
moment,
was
right?
Phenomenal.
That was like Jordan sticking out the tongue. You know you're about to dunk.
Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah.
Hey, let's get to the Got a Door and window to the weekend with no money down. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Gotta Door and Window. Make sure you call them today at 1-877-GO-GOTTA or visit goguida.com. Well, the weekend, obviously, from our vantage point, is largely, from a sports standpoint, about the Phils, new series up ahead. But let's be real. What the weekend really is about is the start of the summer.
Feels weird. It does not feel like Memorial Day.
Weather-wise, not even close.
Well, that, but also, I think the early May thing, not early May, but earlier in May.
Yeah, like so, earlier this week when I was in, Joe, you and Elliot were talking about, like, oh, are you going anywhere this weekend? I'm like, why are you guys going anywhere? What's happening this weekend?
Yeah.
Like, I totally forgot it was Memorial Day. I'm also working, so I feel like in our field you don't really have that luxury.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So Monday is the actual Memorial Day, which is, the 26th? So I guess it's not as early as it could be because
it feels early. Though.
You could have 7 days before the 31st or six. I guess you could have it on the
24th, right? Or 25th, right?
25th.
No. Yeah, it'd have to be the 25th. So it's pretty close to as early.
So 25th on a Monday. Yeah, so it could be one day earlier. Anyway, bottom line is it is on the early side. That's for sure.
But the good aspect of that is later Labor Day.
Yeah.
The earlier you have Memorial Day, the later Labor Day kicks.
Well, it means you get the extra summer weekend.
Yeah.
Which is great for the vendors down the shore.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous when they get the extra. It's like a whole extra weekend of making money. And people being down the shore to, you know, have ice cream and water ice and all that good stuff.
And coming here to the Borgata.
That for sure as well. Well, it's the summer. Let's hope it's a great one for the Phils. They head into the summer in first place in the division, which is great. We broadcast from Borgata today. Happy to do so. Happy to bring you that Jason Kelce interview in just a moment. All right, so no time's yours today because we want to prioritize this segment giving you the full Kelce interview. But when we do time's yours, of course, it is always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Let me also tell you the Twitter poll question of the day today, which has been brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. In a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you believe in Trey Turner moving forward this season? 77% of people do. We'll see if that holds as the season progresses. But as of now, a lot of belief in the Phillies shortstop. All right, let's get to Jason Kelce. We talked to him earlier. We covered a ton of ground on the tush push, the vote, the whole deal, the meeting. Let's listen to Kelce. Let's welcome to the show yet again the hero of Philadelphia, Jason Kelce. Good morning, Jason.
How's it going, Joe?
I mean, a lot of smiles, man. I mean, you did it. I mean, you and Jeffrey freaking did it, Jason. How'd you do it?
I don't know. I think
I don't know. We went in there. It was a wild experience. It was a wild experience. It really was. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I've never been in one of those meetings. I was just talking to Felcher before we hopped on here in the little back call thing. And, like, dude, I'm in a room full of, like, all these owners and billionaires. And you're seeing take place the legislative process of the NFL and the game of football in a lot of ways. And it was awesome to just see how the proposals work, how the guys take the floor. There's back and forth. The Rogers obviously leading everything, and then there's like the committees and the Dr. Alan Sills and the health aspects of it. And I don't know, I really enjoyed the entire thing. It felt really surreal to even be in that room, like sure. I was in some like very inner sanctum, like. You know, I don't know if the Illuminati is real, but I feel like that room is probably as close as it's getting. So it was wild. It was wild.
Well, Jason, you're the only 6th-round pick from the 2012 draft? 2012 or 2011?
2011, yeah.
Yeah, you're the only 6th-round pick from the 2011 draft that got in that room. So you've come a long way, my man. All right, so Jason, there's a lot to break down. Let's just start sure. with this. How can you just give us a sense of how impassioned was Jeffrey's speech, his remarks? How strong did he go?
He went very strong. Stronger than we talked about, the day we kind of met for breakfast and kind of had a plan of what we were going to do and an order of how we were going to say things. And he was even more impassioned in the room. And I think that, you try not to take a lot of this stuff like it's an attack on you and personal and things, but I think that the reality is, a lot of these of this proposal was there because of the Tush push and because of the success that the Philadelphia Eagles had. And I think that, it feels a little bit like it's an attack on your organization and what you guys are doing well. And I don't think that that's necessarily the meaning behind it. You know what I mean? But certainly, I think Jeffrey, voiced some opinions and was very passionate about everything. And, it was definitely, he made his point well known for sure.
What would you say, Jason, was his main argument? I know in a 1-hour speech, it's probably hard to boil it down to one main thing. But what was the central theme you would say he circled back to the most as his main argument?
I think he went a lot of places and, this is one of the things, I didn't talk to the media after. I don't really know what, I went into there like, man, I don't know what to share. I didn't even know media were going to be there. So I don't want to, go too much into what was said. But I think Jeffrey's main thing was really to kind of talk about the safety issues of the play. And one of the reasons that he thinks that's not a concern with this play in particular and why it might be more safe than potentially other plays. And I think that was probably the main thing directly associated with the play itself. I would say that would probably be the main thing I'd say.
Jason, after the vote had gone down, it was reported that some suggested that the Tush push contributed to your determination to retire.
Yes,
did that happen in the room? Did someone actually bring that up to you while you were in that room? Jason, you walked away because of the Tush push. Did that happen there?
It did. Well, first of all, it happened the last meeting, and that's why I was there. It felt like the Eagles felt numerous coaches and owners at the previous meeting had alluded to me stepping away from the game because the play was what it was doing to my body and saying that, the play, I had numerous media things where I was relenting running the play. And I think that the main reason I was there was to really dispel that stuff, right? I think a lot of that stuff gets said in jest, right? There's a quote of me before that play that Lane Johnson said, I said, F my life, right? And we would do that sporadically, not even just around that play, but that was a running joke. We do it in practice. If I had to you got to block man in pass pro. You know, that was more of like a joke, but it gets kind of taken out of context into a, like, oh, this guy really doesn't want to run this play, or it's unhealthy for him to run this play. And I think for me, that's why I was there. I was there to kind of tell them, listen, it's a grueling play. I'm not going to negate that. Like, there's a lot of energy expenditure. You have some of the biggest and best athletes in the world competing for, at sometimes less than a yard, like 6 inches. And it's so impactful, but there's no momentum buildup. So it ends up just really being like energy exertion and pushing. It's not high impact. This isn't like a play that you're going to see these large injuries on, in my opinion, because it's just not what it is, right? I have a much better chance of getting hurt out in the open, running full speed with a lot of momentum and pace, as opposed to being right next to somebody and just pushing as hard as I can against them.
Makes sense. No, that makes all the sense in the world, for sure. I mean, look, the biggest collision a wide receiver has is when he's in open space and guy comes flying at him. I mean, it makes sense.
Correct. I mean, and they just, and one of the things they changed for, like, they just changed the kickoff rules back because they, in part, they brought those guys closer together, right? You when you reduce distance and you reduce the ability to build up momentum and speed, you know, you generally are going to see less, you know, major injuries. Now, I'm not going to say you're never going to see it. It's still a game of football, right? But I think that that was important for me to dispel, was that notion. And it was funny, man. Some of the owners were a trip, and they were playing back and forth with it. Right, the moment I sat down, the first one of the, I don't even want to go. Again, I don't know what to share, but sure. It was, people were definitely playing around with me being in the room and some of those comments. But at the same time, and this is one of the things that was awesome, was just how serious the whole proceeding was, how thoughtful, and not just the proposal to ban the, you know, pushing or assisting the runner, but just how they go through each proposal, how things morph, how you can see that, oh, man, this is, maybe this is not happening now. Maybe they're going to get back to this. This one's going through. And there's really an open dialogue that is fun to witness, especially with some of the characters and personalities in that room, for sure.
I mean, that makes sense, for sure. Jason, how tense would you say it was at times?
It was really tense. It was really tense after Jeffrey went, because of how passionate he was, right? And I think that, you know, I'm never in those meetings, so I don't know how typical it is that it gets that way. You know what I mean? But I think that it was tense because, you know, Jeffrey, again, he was passionate and he made his point clear and known and felt like the Eagles had not been really a part of the process along the way. You know what I mean? It felt like he felt like, you know, his perspective and the Eagles' perspective had been left out. And I think that he made that known to the league, and it was a little bit tense at that moment. But it came back. You know, I think that all these guys have been in rooms like this and have been a part of, I'm sure, some very heated discussions. But it got, I wouldn't say, trying to think on a level of 1 to 10, I'd say like a 7. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it was like, you know, I don't know that blows were getting ready to be thrown, but it was definitely, you know, passionate from Jeffrey.
Jason Kelce with us here, obviously, this morning on WIP as we get ready for, you know, Memorial Day weekend. Hope everyone's getting ready for a great 3-day weekend. By the way, reminder, contest line for Beat the Hammer, which will be in about 5 minutes, maybe a smidgen longer, but Beat the Hammer coming up shortly. We'll take the fifth caller in the contest line, 215-988-1258. You can compete and beat the Hammer, and I need a win after my loss last week. 215-988-1258, Beat the Hammer shortly. Jason, could you tell if you changed you and Jeffrey, if you changed some owners' opinions, and if you couldn't tell, do you guess that you did? Because one thing we've wondered is, did 32 guys walking in that room, guys or gals, walking in that room knowing for sure which way they would vote, and, like, it didn't matter what you said, or do you think that what you said and what Jeffrey said swayed some opinions to change opinions?
I could tell one that
I don't know if we swayed anybody's opinion, but I could tell just in the way the back and forth went that there were people that were still up in the air on it, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like if everybody would have been decided on it, there wouldn't have been any questions asked, right? Like, it just would have been like, all right, we already know we're voting on this. We're not listening. It felt like there was an open dialogue on the floor, which to me made it feel like there were people genuinely still trying to decide, right? And I went into it, to be honest with you, I don't know, it felt like we went into it feeling like there was some level of optimism with the votes, and I don't know how they, you know, Ferrari and the Eagles kind of knew which people were already definitely going to be voting for it and which ones weren't, and they kind of knew there was some stuff there, but for me, I thought for sure it was going to get banned. I just, it felt like with all the reports coming out, you know, Dr. Alan Sills saying what he said and the competition committee all voting to get rid of it, I did think it would probably get banned and the proposal would pass. But once I was in the room and we were talking, it felt like there was, it felt like there was sufficient back and forth that there were people that were still kind of willing to listen, and that usually lends itself to, you know, the fact that, you know, maybe they're not as hardened in their position as one would seem.
Jason, when I think of you, the first thing I think of is maybe the best pulling slash downfield blocking center in the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. But you're also the guy who starts the tush push, which has become this huge talking point in the National Football League. You're tied to both, but they're very different plays. They're divergent. How much pride do you take in the tush push?
You take a tremendous amount of pride in anything you do really well, and you do a lot better than anybody else, right? You know, I think, and especially now, like, you know, teams have had opportunities to replicate this thing, and it's showing that the Eagles just happen to be really freaking good at this play. And, you know, when you're the best in the world at something, when you line up and you know that there's nothing another team can do to stop it, when you know that other teams are trying to do the same thing you're doing and they can't do it as well, you take a tremendous amount of pride in that. You know, and, you know, I know Jeffrey alluded to it with saying, you know, whether it gets banned or not, you know, in some ways, you know, once it probably does get banned, you know, I would assume that, you know, it was close this time, and there's going to be lobbying again next year, I would assume. You know, to be a part of a play that, you know, largely people have an issue with because of the competitive advantage, supposedly, but really the only team that seems to have that much of a competitive advantage is us. It feels pretty damn cool. You know, there's how many teams have had a play taken away solely because they were that much better at it than anybody else.
It's incredible. So, it is.
I take a pretty sufficient amount of pride in that.
You should, Jason. You really should. All right, Jason, a couple final things, and Jason Kelce obviously with us here on WIP. So a couple final things. When you win the vote, who was the first person that you texted? Or, you know, Jeffrey. Like, you text Nick? You text Stoutland?
Who do you reach out to first? I'll tell you exactly about this. So, first of all, I didn't find out the results of the vote. Because they went into another session that they're like, hey, get this Flappy out of here and everybody else. Right?
Not the real business.
That's right.
Correct. They went into like, yeah, this is the true inner sanctum moment, right? And I didn't know how it went. I was going back up to my hotel room and I got a text from a man, Jordan Malata, who found out before me because he found out from, I'm assuming, Twitter or something like that. And Jordan Malata said, thanks for your service. Another year of pushing tush.
That's awesome.
So, that is great.
That was the first person. That's when I text the other guys, like, hey, are the results in? Because it felt like they were still talking about it, but that was fun.
Makes sense. All right, Jason, how proud were you flying home?
You know, I would say I was proud, but again, like, it was weird. You know, I went not necessarily – I'm very happy that, you know, the play's remaining, and I think that I get both sides of the argument, though, if I'm being honest. And I tried to make that apparent even when I was there. Like, I think the league definitely made an effort to really attack aiding the runner downfield, which is illegal on pulling and lifting them, and – the pushing aspect was the key word that they removed a few years back because it's hard to officiate. So, you know, I'm very happy that it remained just because it felt like the reasons being given just weren't that sufficient. It felt like there was a lot of, you know, let's face it, if the tush push wasn't as successful as it is, then they wouldn't be changing the rule. And I think that that's – and the reasons being given for that just didn't feel sufficient and felt like it was, you know, everybody working around it to try and push it to get banned, right? And and I think that, you know, while I get all of the concerns completely, and I think that by and large, and I opened my remarks with that place, I really consider it a privilege to be there. That room, even in my 13 years in the league, all of those owners in there, Roger Goodell, the competition committee, the health and safety board or whatever that's called with Dr. Alan Sills, they've made the game so much safer for players. And I think that a lot of these decisions that they've made have been vastly in the better, have improved the game for players. And I think it's an awesome thing that they've done there, and they've all taken seriously, and they've done an incredible job with it. And this was, I wanted to go there and be a part of it, but also just kind of, you know, understand that all of these decisions being made are done with good intentions, either for the betterment of football, for the betterment of the NFL, or for the betterment of player safety. And I'm very proud that, you know, we get to run this play again, but I'm also, you know, was not going into it necessarily with that being the ultimate goal, even though that did occur.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, of course. No, yeah. And listen, we can, like, we hear your sense of, I don't know if all is the word, but your sense of appreciation for the process and that you were invited into the process. I mean, you know.
Correct. Listen,
we hear it. And we hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, like, even if we would have lost, I would have still had appreciation for how that occurred. You know what I mean?
I do.
Like, I completely get the sentiment that other owners are coming with and that other people have that don't want the play to be run anymore. Other than the ugly one, like, to me, I don't think we should start banning things that are ugly in the NFL. I would have never been allowed to play football in the NFL if ugly things can't go in there. Like, I think that's just a flat out bad reason to not allow something. But I think that most of the, like, reasons that people were giving were, like, let's assisting the runner. When the offensive players push on a runner, they get that yardage gain. When defensive players compile and push backwards a runner, they don't get the negative yards, right? They only get where that ball led up to. So there is, like, a level of, you know, is it, you know, what is fair? And for 60 years or whatever it is, you weren't allowed to do it. And then they changed it a few years back. So I get a lot of those concerns. I get the safety stuff because of the posturing. I get everybody's frame of reference. And, you know, definitely happy the play is going to be run again. I think that there was a sufficient amount of owners that didn't think that was enough. But at the same time, I would have understood if it was.
You know, Jason, let me thank you, my man. I mean, big time for carving out some time for us today, but also as an Eagles fan, as you know I am and we are, for your dedication to the Eagles. Needless to say, it has gone into the retirement phase where you've got another win for the Eagles. And I think it could create, like, literally additional wins for the Eagles. So great job, man. And again, thanks for being a huge part of the show. And have a great Memorial Day weekend, man. I mean, you know, get yourself a brew this weekend and toast your accomplishments. You got another win. Just get some garage beer this weekend.
Oh yeah, we're actually going to be doing something with garage beer down in Florida. It'll be a lot of fun. So All right. I appreciate you guys having me on. And, yeah.
Jason, final thing. Who are you rooting for, the Hammer or the contestant who's about to lose and beat the Hammer?
I always root for the contestant.
That's
always.
My guy. Oh, right. Thank you, Jason.
This is the part where I hang up on you.
Answer.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye. All right. Hey, Jason, good stuff, man. Thanks so much. And really, congrats. It was well done.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that was Jason Kelce earlier today. Obviously, we covered a ton of ground there. Of course, Beat the Hammer's not coming up. That was from 2 hours ago. But we wanted to give you an encore of that because
yeah,
a lot
Jason
in there.
Took an L. You were calling him Mr. Winner all day. He took an L rooting against you, bud.
That's right. All right. We got to quickly come up as we broadcast from Borgata today with a winner for the Phillies tickets for the June 11th game. Got it narrowed down to three for best summer movie characters. There were about 10 great ones said, but I think there's a clear top three. There's Clark Griswold, Summer Vacation, others, but Summer Vacation. There is Chris Chambers. That's River Phoenix's character in Stand By Me. One of the youngest that was said today, and he was tremendous. And Rodney Dangerfield's character in Caddyshack, Al, I think you say it, Cervic.
Cervic.
Okay. Seltzer, who are you voting for?
This is really hard. They're all great, but I'm going to go Clark Griswold.
Okay. Mm. Jody Mack.
Because it's acting, I'm going to go River Phoenix. I think he did the best acting job in his movie.
Okay. We're not specifically asking acting. We're asking for character, but River Phoenix is a fun answer. Devin, who do you go with?
I have to go with Clark Griswold. I mean, it's literally called Vacation. Like, it screams summer, so we got to go with it.
I was going to go with Rodney or Chris Chambers, so I guess I lose. If I say Rodney,
If you say Rodney, you lose. If you say Chris Chambers, then, you know, maybe I'll ask Joe Giglio, who's looking at me right now in the other studio.
Okay, I'm going to.
Okay, say Chris
Chambers.
Hold on,
hold on. Let me give an honest answer. Do I think Rodney or Chris Chambers? I guess Rodney.
Ah, well, there we go.
That's it. Seth, you've won with Clark Griswold. I would have taken the other two both over Clark Griswold, but my honest answer would be Rodney. They're all awesome. Maybe I should have said Chris Chambers. Hey, everyone have a spectacular rest of the day, and really have a great Memorial Day holiday weekend. Enjoy it. Enjoy the summer. Get down the shore if you can. Thanks to Kelce for joining us earlier, and you for listening to our program. Joe and Jody Mack for filling in for Rich today.
Always fun.